Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We haven't done a full show in a while. We Red Sox been getting going at 6:08, so we've been getting out of here early, but not tonight. This is prime time baseball, baby. 8:08 first pitch. Red Sox, Yankees.
It's good as it gets right here, man.
The TV networks love this.
Rivalry's back.
They love this.
Yeah.
Oh, the rivalry's back.
It's back, baby.
I feel a little buzz in the rivalry.
Yep.
Well, what's it? Fernando Cruz also helped that last night by acting like a jackass as he left the mound.
You know what helped?
L7.
Is that the Red Sox, you know, just started getting better players.
Did I do that?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't have a rivalry if you're not both in the postseason.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
100%. They're in the postseason. And this is perfect in a way. You know, we had the debate yesterday. What are you looking for? Blowout win, whatever. Now it's game three. Now it's the tension is going to be thick at Yankee Stadium. Mm. Hopefully they won't have 6,000 unused tickets tonight. Hopefully they let anybody who wants to get in buy the damn tickets, whether it's the cheap seats or the fancy seats. Before we get to the drive real quick, hadn't thought about the thing that Lou said that Connelly Early has never played a road game with a stadium that had more than like 12,000 people.
That's
in the crowd.
Interesting.
There's going to be 50,000 people there wanting to rip his head off.
Have you heard some of his comments though? The way he talks just puts me at ease.
Me too.
There's something about there's a confidence in how he answers questions and just relates to the media that I literally am like, across sports, but you know, I knew a quarterback that was similar to that when he first came in the league, where you're just like, wow, this guy's got everything under control. I like that. I want my pitcher to be very calm, very cool, very calculated, and I just like the way he talks and presents himself. That sometimes can be a sign that he's got the right disposition for this high leverage situation that he's in.
All right, it's time for the drive where Ted Johnson will expand on his comparison of Connelly Early to Tom Brady.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. In the left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
So it is time for The Drive. I compared Connelly Early visually to another young star athlete who's been performing in New York City, Jackson Dart. A little bit of a baby face look to Jackson Dart. Everybody said he's screwed.
Rosy
he's not
cheeks.
Ready. Yeah. And Jackson Dart went out there and beat the Chargers.
Sure did.
So they saw
the undefeated Chargers.
Exactly. So they saw it firsthand in New York City, what a young baby face player can do. But let's start there, Ted Johnson. So at 23 years on 182 days, Connelly Early will be the youngest Red Sox pitcher since Babe Ruth to start a postseason game. In case you want to do the math, that was 1916. So that was that was 109 years ago.
Like it was yesterday.
My grandma was 16 years old.
Really?
Yep. Born in 1900.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So she's not with us anymore.
You know what? She, God bless her, passed away in 91. So just think about what she saw in her life, you know, 1900
and 1991. I think those people are so cool. Oh. Now, I'm sure
horse and buggy to people on the moon.
People will probably say that about us. Like, they went from no internet to phones that were built into their brains and things or whatever. But you just brought it up. Connelly Early, you made a comparison, and I'm not going to go over the top for radio purposes, but cool, calm, collected Tom Brady was in a, interesting spot back in 2001. And you think there may be a little
just how
similarity?
Just the blood pressure's down, doesn't seem too overwhelmed. You know, it doesn't seem like this is too big of a moment.
Will he take a nap? Didn't Tom Brady famously take a nap?
I told the story on the Vice special. Yeah, where he was sitting there before we went out to the Super Bowl. He's got a towel over his face. He's laying down in front of his locker taking a nap. And I was like, oh, we're good. That put me right. It was weird. That put me at ease. How that, like, Alex Bregman smiling to Lou earlier this morning at the hotel put Lou's mind at ease. There's something about Connelly Early's disposition, his personality, the way he talks, that puts me at ease. And you can see how he's performed. Just in just 19 innings of play, the guy's been a wizard. So, you know, why not keep this thing going? I know there's a lot more people watching, but I don't feel like he's going to be fazed by that.
Fitzy, that is all well and good that he has a certain stature. And then when Aaron Judge hits a 500-foot home run on the second at-bat of the game, you know, the old Mike Tyson, everybody's got a plan until they get punched
in the face.
Are you similarly confident in Connelly Early and his makeup for this situation?
I am. I think you can't fear what you don't know. And if he's never been in a situation like this, why start to worry about what you're walking into now? He's got an intelligence and ease about him that sets him up for success on the regular. Whether or not he's expecting to walk into the mouth of hell and listen to all of those goons out there making life miserable for him, we'll see. I think he's going to be fine early on, but it's going to be, can he go through the lineup a second time? Does he get nervous and groove one? That's what he's got to stay low. If he can keep the ball down, he's going to keep the Sox in the game until and if their own lineup gets going.
All right. Speaking of lineups, Dan Ball, the Red Sox and Yankees both have a couple new look lineups, a little twist. Let's start with the lineup for your hometown Boston Red Sox.
Let's do that indeed. And it's a very similar one to what we saw at the end of the regular season, guys. Jarren Duran leads off in left. Then it's Trevor Story at short. Alex Bregman at third. Masataka Yoshida, Andy's guy, the DH. He's cleanup. Woo! And the biggest change, Seydon Rafael in center field, the guy who couldn't lay a bunt down, he's now hitting fifth. So hopefully he'll just hit more home runs.
Five hitters don't bunt, so we're good.
That's right, absolutely. Nathaniel Lowe at first, Carlos Navarro is your catcher, Willy Abreu out in right, and Romy Gonzalez at second. And I thought it was interesting that Lou was surmising there may be a little something going on with Gonzalez right now. He might be fighting something.
He's not the only one. Will Fleming has alluded to the same thing. So my guess is when the season ends, we're going to find out that these guys all know whatever the hell Romy Gonzalez is actually dealing with. But he's out there. And this is a better, just Fitzy, just like from a pure visual perspective, this is a better looking lineup. Like, this is a lineup you feel better about.
Well, this is literally, I think, the best lineup you can possibly put out there. Their best lineup would be against a fastball throwing right-hander right now, given who they have, who's healthy, and what's available to them. And if Romy Gonzalez is also fighting something, lest we forget, guys, there were, you know, unsubstantiated rumors of Crochet being sick over the weekend. Bregman was sick over the weekend, flew down separately. Story.
Oh, he was definitely sick. Like, just a clarification there, because we talked about wondering what it was.
Uh-huh.
I'm guessing it was belly illness, because Alex Cora made a joke about he kept telling everybody that they, quote, ate the worm during the celebration in the way to the playoffs. So
there's, you know, internet rumors about a lot of different things, a lot of different people, but you know, if a norovirus type of thing rifled through a bunch of people, I wouldn't be surprised. That said, look, you know, hey, we're going to talk Tom Brady, Connelly, Early, Sox, and Patriots. Someone had a fever of 103 on a Saturday night, then came out the next day and whooped the ass of the Steelers. So,
and Nathaniel Lowe is a guy that I don't think is a crazy pick to have a big hit, maybe even have a big home run in a key spot. He's a guy that every once in a while he takes a swing and you think, oh, he jacked it. He got that one out of there. And Ted, he's got a ring.
He does, from the Rangers.
You don't want to credit him, but he's got a ring. He's no St. Bregman, but he's got a ring.
How about him? He just needed, where was he, with the Washington?
Yeah, and then they said, bye-bye, you stink.
And then he came here, and he just, like, turned into the player that the Red Sox were hoping they would get. So
Worked out.
It's really worked out with him. So, no, that you're right. The lineup does look more, I don't know, hefty, more stout, if you will.
Yeah, it's not Yankees.
Gives you a little bit more confidence.
Stout. I like that.
Yeah. I love every time I listen to a Yankee coming to the plate who has somewhere between 20 and 50 home runs, and it's like, does everybody on this team hit home runs?
It's not even that. Are you allowed to do that?
It's like they got the square jawline and the mustache and the.
Yeah. Was it 1998 like again?
Yeah.
they all look like a bunch of barroom brawlers, mixologists, and former haircutters. By the way, one guy we have not mentioned, one guy we've heard nothing from all series long, except when he almost ran into and trucked Rafaela in game one, How about something, you know, a little something for the effort from Abreu tonight?
Well, that'd be sick.
I mean, he did miss a significant period of time. So just to, like, get back out here, playoffs, like, he's chasing his timing and catching up.
Can we get the Abreu that started out the season that was
Although, to be fair, he started he was hurt in spring training, so he started the season hot after
he was sick in spring training. Yeah. Remember that?
So maybe
he lost like 20 pounds.
All right. Maybe he's sick again. Maybe tonight's the night. Maybe they get it done. Dan Ball, let's get to the Yankees lineup.
All right. You got Trent Grisham in center, Aaron Judge in right, Cody Bellinger in left, Giancarlo Stanton, your DH. So no flipping of the outfielders for this one. Ben Rice at first, Ahmed Rosario at third, Jazz Chisholm at second, Anthony Volpe at short, Austin Wells your catcher. So the only player changes, Rosario in for Ryan McMahon, and then they did some shuffling for your players. But other than that, your main big boppers still very much there.
Sox killer Ben Rice at first base, although that gives you an arm that they did I read he's in like the 1 percentile for throwing?
Yep. Terrible arm.
You can't be lower than that.
Didn't run.
You can't be lower than one. If you were lower, it means you can't throw.
The third base coach that got a bad arm.
It's a little late. He didn't know that when he needed to know that. Yes, Dan Ball?
Ben Rice of Cohasset, Massachusetts.
Yes, the local guys are everywhere on that Yankees squad.
Hey, we forgot, Andy, you know, we've gone just a little over 3 hours into this afternoon's edition of the WEI Afternoon Program. I forgot to ask, how did David Hamilton do last?
Way to go, Fitzy. Way to go.
He bought a drink after the game because he didn't play and he needed to soak his sorrows in his cup at the hotel bar.
Nailed it.
Fitzy, what he really wanted to say was David Hamilton was going to have a breakout play in this game.
Yes.
Not last night's game, but
in
this game.
I got the day wrong.
A prophet, sometimes there's a little vagary to their visions and it takes a little while for
Genius
them.
Walks alone and on the wrong day.
I'll say it again. If David Hamilton was on second base, you win that game last night.
Oh, God.
David Hamilton runs his ass home.
Yeah. Just send the drone here. Just do it. Take
telling
me
you,
now, please.
I'm telling you that would happen. Anyway, we bring up the coaching and some of the things that went wrong yesterday. And our guy Lou Maloney, who joined us about 45 minutes ago as he was huffing and puffing his way to Yankee Stadium. Ted, you asked him about bunting, like the simple idea of bunting. And he not only addressed that, he took it a little bit deeper within terms of the idea of, are these teams prepared for the postseason in general?
Yeah, they do. I mean, they practice bunting, but it's just like anything else. You can take BP all you want, but until you get in a game and do it, it's completely different. To me, it's the problem with baseball, and it's not just the Red Sox, you know, although given the type of team they are right now, and they really did this in September, you know, moved the runner, put some bunts down in September. But the game itself, like for 6 months, is, you know, hit home runs, don't bunt. That's not a way to maximize runs. Well, should I move the runner over for third? Nope. Try to get a hit. Try to hit a double. Try to score 3 or 4 runs every inning. And then it seems like when the games matter the most, when we're in the playoffs, you see all these teams trying to bunt. And all of a sudden, contact matters. Like people are like, no, I can't strike out in the playoffs. Need more contact. Well, you know, you need more contact. You need to do little things. You got to play fundamental baseball. But in a regular season, none of that matters. Like, how does that make sense? Like, how do we not preach moving runners and making contact and bunting and winning ball games during a regular season? And then all of a sudden in October, we want our team to figure out how to play differently? Like, it just, and like I said, it's not the Red Sox. It's everybody. All of a sudden, you get to the postseason and the things that should matter all of a sudden matter. But for 6 months, you tell me they don't? It's just a weird place.
But it matters more for the Red Sox because that's how they're built. Like, you're not going to ask Aaron Judge to bunt. The Yankees are built as they're built. As I said, it feels like everybody in the lineup hits 20, 30, 40, 50 home runs. Okay, so that you live and die by that in May. You live and die by that in October. But we've had this conversation. We talked to Alex Cora in September, a day after he had extra bunting practice at Fenway Park. Mm. And remember I asked him, I said, was that in preparation for October? And he said, no, it's in preparation for September.
Yeah.
So you're supposedly preparing for that, and I couldn't find the exact list of guys, although Bradfoe thought that Raffaello was part of that group that did extra bunt practice that day in September to prepare down the stretch. But Lou's right. Like, you shouldn't look that inept.
It's weird, though. It kind of reminded me of the NBA game. How it's a fast-paced game in the regular season, and then it's, except for this last year,
right,
where it was the two teams in the finals were young and it went up and down the court. But typically, it's a different game in the playoffs versus the game in the regular season. And I think that kind of fits here with the Red Sox. They're playing a different style in the regular season, and then they play a different style in the playoffs, and it's confusing. Lou's confused, and I'm confused. And I don't know why guys – I guess he did say that they do practice some bunting in BP.
But they do. But the issue, like he brought it up, BP is BP. It's right? a guy it's throwing 80 miles that's an hour, true. Maybe.
And, with the ball
and he's not throwing a splitter that's diving.
That's fair.
So Rafaela is like squared up, and then all of a sudden, oh no, that's diving, and I get below
the ball.
So there's
no real way to simulate a real pitcher in BP, I guess, then.
I mean, I guess you could if you really wanted.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To invest in it, but I don't know. They don't prioritize it until the season's on the line and the whole world is watching.
I mean, but,
and you popped out to the pitcher.
But besides that, he could have pulled the bunt away. I mean, both of those balls that he tried to bunt were way out of the strike zone.
Yes.
So
and that's
anxious.
And that is it. They always tell you you can't be anxious. You can't chase the ball. Bunting is about allowing a strike to hit your bat, essentially. But once you start chasing it, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. Bad. You're going to pop out to the catcher, or you're going to hit one too hard because the infield was in. Like, they were way in. That was not the easiest of bunting situations. That could have gone wrong there. Although, I do think the flip side is true. I'm not sure people are overly comfortable fielding in bunting situations because it doesn't happen much.
Well,
but when you just hit a little pop-up to the pitcher, I mean, you could have caught that. Ted, I could have caught that. Anybody could have caught that. Even Stiz could have caught that, the least athletic member of the...
Thank you, Andrew.
We did talk to our guy, Tom Curran, because there is a massive Patriots game this weekend. If you believe in gauging or barometers or litmus tests or measuring sticks, and there's also the comparison that's been quite popular of Drake May to Josh Allen. Statistically, they are quite similar. So I asked Tom Curran if he's buying into this evolution of Drake May.
I think he is developing into who he will ultimately be, but he still has a dark side.
Whoa!
Do we forget what happened 2 weeks ago when he threw a line drive pick into the end zone against Pittsburgh and then had a ridiculous decision on which he fumbled later in the game when he was almost all the way fully safe and just taking a simple sack? The last 2 weeks to me, Andy, were absolute perfect case studies for Drake May to look at. If I don't make a mistake, we can beat a bad team by 36 points. If I make bad mistakes, we can blow an entirely decent and competent chance to beat a team that's maybe even a little bit better than us. And we could have beaten them by 21. That's what he should be saying to himself. So just stop the dumbness because it's not cured yet.
The dumbness, the dark side and the dumbness of Drake May from Tom Curran.
The dark and the dumb. Who would have ever thought that's what we'd be positioning this preview as?
Yes, Danball.
Not to be confused with wrongheadedness.
Yes. No. It's not wrongheadedness. It's dark side and dumbness. That's very different. Ted Johnson, though, you believe this is key, this whole don't turn the ball over, you'll give yourself a chance. But you also had a statistic that the Buffalo Bills have won the turnover battle in how many straight games?
26 straight games. It is currently a record.
That's all of last year, the beginning of this year, and some of the previous year?
Yep.
Jiminy Christmas.
Yep, they have won the turnover battle in 26 straight games. Yep. So,
but also, don't forget, Josh Allen has thrown a pick against the Patriots in four straight. So something's got to give.
Or he could just throw one pick. Drake could throw three picks, and the Bills win the turnover battle and win the game in all likelihood.
Let me just tuck that positive thought back in my pocket right there.
I believe after the second game, I came in with the stat that basically said Drake May and Ramondre Stevenson together combined for two turnovers every game. I think it was after last. If you look at just Drake May right now, he's averaging just half a turnover a game. So he's lowering his turnovers little by little by little. So we will see. He's trending in a way where the turnovers that plagued him last year and to start the season are starting to be eliminated.
We're obviously going to get into this more tomorrow, Friday, leading into Sunday night football, even though we'll also be reacting to this massive baseball game happening tonight. But just quick yes or no. Do you feel good about this? The word they use sometimes in football, spot for the Patriots. Where they are, where the other team is, on the road, you feel good about this spot?
Bitsy?
Yes, I do. I do. Are they 100% who I think they'll ultimately be? No. But do I want to know if they are a paper tiger or Foxborough frauds or an actual Foxborough football team? Yes, this is a great – that's why it's the barometer and benchmark game. It's huge for them. I want to know, Andy, pretenders or contenders?
Ted Johnson, you feeling good about it?
You know, can I say yes and no?
That's not how this works.
The Bills play the Falcons after they play the Patriots, so it's not like a – they can't overlook the – you know, they're not going to overlook the Patriots.
Okay.
But for the Patriots, it's their first real test against one of the better teams. And so if they are going to get to where they want to go, they can't just beat up on the weak teams. They gotta compete and beat the good teams too. And so this is a good spot for them to kind of see where they're at. I think 5 weeks into the season, they always say the first month is an extension of preseason. So we've been through the month of September. So let's go. Josh McDaniels, you can see, is starting to figure out what he's got in his offense. You're starting to see some consistency there and where he wants to go with certain guys. You see the defense. Guys are starting to show out a little bit on defense. So it's probably the right time to play him if you had to put a rubber band to my head. And I would say this is probably a good spot for them. And I like that they're going to play them in mid-December. And so in which by that time, I expect this team to be a hell of a lot better than it is currently right now.
All right, that's going to do it for The Drive on a Thursday afternoon. Alex Cora down in New York has spoken with the gathered media at Yankee Stadium. He's given some insight into the Red Sox bullpen and who's available tonight in this deciding Game 3 of the Wild Card Series. We'll talk about that and bring that information to you next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, and for the final time, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.